Okay, our topic today again is press release strategy. My name is Brian. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll be monitoring that account throughout the hour. If you have any questions or problems with the notes, I'll go through these instructions one more time, and then we'll get started. The URL for the notes is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we will ask you to refresh your browser on that page several times throughout the conference as we add some tables and other notes. There are also some URLs listed, seven of them, that we will ask you to visit a couple for some of the interactive elements of today's conference. Star 4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing, and Star 6 will mute your line. You can read a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin at the bottom of your notes. And at this time, I would like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin, who will be our primary presenter this afternoon.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. Our topic this afternoon is press releases, how we tested the impact of press releases on website traffic and inbound leads, and found that effective PR can deliver an ROI superior to PPC advertising. We recently released the audio recordings of our clinic on this topic, or we'll be doing that soon. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and release our findings. It is tempting to think that press releases are old media and have to be part or have no part to play in the modern world of digital communications, but this is not the case. Our testing has shown that press releases can create significant spikes in site traffic and generate hundreds or even thousands of backlinks. Those involved with link-building strategies will certainly appreciate the value that those new links can deliver in your natural search rankings on pages such as Google. However, and this is the key, we did not understand this when we began the testing. And candidly, I think this is one of the most fascinating of the findings from this research. But we've also learned that you can, if you just really do the math, the cost per click of a PR campaign can be less than the cost per click in one of the major engines such as Google or Overture. I think that this is perhaps the most fascinating part of our learnings here. And if you have done, there's kind of a cycle in pay-per-click, and many of you have probably done this, where you've bought search terms and refined and then bought all the available traffic, and more competitors come online. It gets increasingly difficult to find a level at which you can continue to grow and expand your traffic base, because the good opportunities on the internet obviously are so often fraught with competitive conflict that you find your competitors are online purchasing terms and bidding up your prices. Many of us come to a limit as to the traffic that we can affordably purchase. And when I say affordably, I'm talking about in terms of its ROI. When you run out of traffic that you can buy, send to your website, what else can you do? It's embarrassing almost, if you're ahead of marketing, to discover the genuine ceiling that there is on internet growth. Most of us come from an offline background where traffic scales up, and we assume that we can continue to scale up on the internet. But it becomes increasingly difficult to get more traffic if your primary source is through the search engines. And so I have found that many of the marketing groups who do well on the internet are constantly hunting down a new way to attract traffic, and they run out of options. There's a cycle I've seen, a pattern. Frequently, they put their hopes in an affiliate program, and so they launch off in an elaborate attempt to attract affiliates. But affiliate marketing, while very effective, and we've written on this subject and we've used it with great success, affiliate marketing can be extremely difficult, and 9 out of 10 affiliate programs don't work. And they soon discover that. And so then they start searching for some other key way, some other magic bullet. They go back and re-optimize their site for natural search, doing things they should have done in the beginning, but they overlooked in the big rush to grow a new program. And often they find themselves in a frustrated place where they cannot come up with a new idea. The lucky ones strike up a unique strategic alliance with just the right firm who has a new traffic source, and they can share traffic together. Other companies, big media and publishing companies, have so much inbound traffic to their list coming from offline sources who heard or who are familiar with the brand, then they can launch new items, and they do that. You'll find the big companies, the big publishers, are constantly launching new products and basically relying on the momentum of their existing traffic in order to sell those new products, and they move from one to the next as they try to meet their revenue goals. But I would venture to say that the large majority of our audience right now on the telephone and on the web, and the large majority of our readers of the journal, find themselves in a frustrated place where pay-per-click advertising produces diminishing returns. With that in mind, I think the research team here has done something and kind of discovered something remarkable that might be truly useful for many of you who are trying to figure out a way to solve the problem. And essentially, in this brief, we're going to address four things. Number one, how a small investment in press release distribution can attract thousands of visitors who would never otherwise have even heard about your site. And number two, how press releases can significantly improve your link popularity and your natural search traffic. Number three, how press releases can provide you with an opportunity to collect contact information from your visitors and add them to your subscriber list. Boy, that's important. And number four, how your PR campaigns can deliver an ROI that is superior to the one that is achieved through pay-per-click advertising. So here's kind of how we began to discover the answers to those questions. So over the past 6 months, we issued 7 press releases for our own site, marketingexperiments.com. These press releases covered a variety of new developments. Now, I want to point out that I'm using 2 sites in this research, one of which is Marketing Experiments, our own site, and one of which is I-58 Projects. It's a foundation, it's a charity that we're closely involved with. I want to tell you why I'm using these as opposed to one of our other research partners. That is because many of you know we're partnered, we have research partnerships with groups like Reuters and the New York Times and other groups that we help, we assist them in growing. They get, data, and they get growth from the research we do together. Problem is, I wanted to be very, very specific with you and share with you information that's personal information about the company that I could never do with one of those partners. So we chose in this case to use our own data from sites that we have relationships with and control of, and in that way we thought we would be able to help you understand more specifically what we do. So that's why we've chosen our sites. And so I'm going to talk about 7 press releases that we tested with marketingexperiments.com. And for that point, you might look in your notes. Brian should have at this point dropped in some bullet points for you, and they will help you read. In fact, if you haven't been on a conference before, what you need to do now is refresh your web browser. If you're an Explorer, you can hit F5, and that will do it. If you're using a different browser, just go up to the toolbar and use the window and refresh. With that in mind, you should see 7 of these. Press release 1 announced that full subscriptions to the Marketing Experiments site would now be free, and there would be no more monthly fees for access to the data. By the way, that many of you know that our site is completely free. We had a paid model, but its primary purpose was so that we could test various forms of subscription offerings, and we used that, and when we completed our test cycling and data, we refunded everyone's money who still owed us or who, had purchased in advance, and then we made the entire site free for you. Number 2, PR2 announced that KnowThis.com had named MEC as one of the best marketing sites on the Internet. When they did that, we built a press release. Number 3, PR3 announced that MarketingExperiments.com or MEC had helped SWUG, one of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group, become one of the largest online communities. And so if you look, I won't read them all, but if you'll see PR4, PR5, PR6, and PR7, all of them were press releases. Some were connected to copywriting and Nick Usborne joining our staff. Some were connected to marketing opportunities for the seasons, and some were connected to pay-per-click and key topics we chose. Having shown you that, bear in mind that over a six-month period, we tracked these releases, and we tracked their initial impact on our site. Now, it's impossible to track all the good things they possibly did for us, but we certainly could monitor the associated traffic spikes. The table below shows you the cost of these releases, their distribution, and the direct measurable results of each. Now, as a researcher, let me point out there's a lot of footnotes here that I can't get into, but one of which is that if there is anything about the numbers we're going to show you in this table, they underestimate the traffic that was driven because they only account for those that we could directly trace. And many of you know how the Internet works. We cannot trace all of the PR results of that PR as it comes into our site. If you'll look at a table, Brian is going to drop right now into your notes a table. And this table says press release campaign summaries. It lists for each one of these campaigns where we distributed it, what it cost for wire fees, the direct traffic that we associated with the distribution, and any media interviews. Now, we had up to this point shied away from media interviews because we were just quietly doing our research. We actually turned down a number of them, but here we wanted to do these interviews as they came in. We didn't aggressively go after them. We just allowed them to come in, and those that came in, we worked with. So the total, you'll see, is that in terms of hard cost, this does not include labor, and I'd point out for you that pay-per-click has associated labor also, and the amount of labor is really commensurate with what your goals are because you can spend an unlimited amount of labor on either pay-per-click or in pressing for media attention. But if those factors are reasonably equal, we can drill down to what the hard costs were. And our hard costs were $990, and traffic that we could directly attribute to the releases was just over 3,064 visitors. And, of course, there were six interviews. Now, you should be able to see that in your notes, again, by refreshing your browser. And here's what you need to understand. In seven press releases issued over a six-month period, we were able to generate more than 3,000 direct visitors and six interviews, which went on to create even more traffic we can't track. These press releases were distributed through online wire services and also manually by our PR firm. Incidentally, I don't know if they're on here. Later on, the PR group we worked with may be available to help answer questions as well as us. But you can go to MEC's site, and when you go to the About Us page, you can see the contact information for the group that we worked with, and because they're managing media there for us now. Now, it's notable that both PR 6 and PR 7, Press Release 6 and Press Release 7, focused on potential lost revenue, which is an important element in the minds of online marketers, and each of these releases generated two press interviews. Topics are very, very important, and here's a key point. An effective press release strategy will focus on topics that are timely, personal, and specifically relevant to your target audiences. This will help to maximize distribution and also impact. Now, in addition, I want to give you another point, but I'd like to point out something to Brian. Brian, I am not going to go to the press release link generation table yet. I'll tell you when to use it. We're going to skip it, okay? Did you hear me on that, Brian? I know you're muted.
Sure. Got it.
All right, so in additional testing, we focused on more personal stories. Press release 8 featured the headline, 9-year-old donates 1,000 bears to Indian orphans. If you're in front of your computers, you'll want to go to i58projects.com. I, as in the letter I, 58, the number 58, i58projects.com, and you'll see the other site that we worked with. This is a nonprofit group that we fund and work with closely, and it's involved right now with the housing for the Katrina victims and many other things. It's also very involved in orphanages overseas. In fact, a large group, we're taking a large team to India in approximately 4 weeks to visit. We have about 10,000 orphans over there. we're involved with, and many other things. So you can see about that on the site. The point is that press release 8 and 9 focused on very personal stories, and they achieved much stronger results. Please look at the new table Brian's going to place into your notes. Brian, can they refresh their page now?
Yes, they should see it now. And I also added the descriptions of press release 8 and 9 above the table.
So now we've talked about 7. There were 7 press releases with MEC, and now there's press release 8 and 9. And if you're still trying to kind of wrap your mind about where we're going, pretty soon we're going to show you how this compared to what we were doing in pay-per-click. So stand by, because it'll all make sense in just a little bit here. Here are the results of those 2 press releases. Press release 8 and 9 generated, just 2 releases, 2,378 visits that we could directly track immediately afterwards at a cost of $330. And these were by far the best performing press releases, and it's because of the way we did them. They were very personal, and their timing was superb. PR9, the press release 9, performed very well because it was timely, it was regionally focused, and it was highly relevant to its target's audience. Most importantly, it focused on a story that appealed to audiences on a personal level, which is really quite key. And in fact, here is the key point for you. Media outlets generally prefer to deliver news that has personal impact. If your press release can help them accomplish that task, they have a greater chance of being noticed by busy editors. Focus on press releases that are local, personal, timely, and specific. The purpose of PR9 was to generate donations of housing for the Hurricane Katrina relief effort. And the following map graphic illustrates the locations of the donors nationwide. PR map 1 is link number what in your notes, Brian?
That's link number 4 under the URLs.
So if you look at link number 4, it'll give you a map of this. The story was picked up by a television station in Philadelphia and aired on the 10 p.m. news on Friday, September 2nd. In the following close-up map, you can see the concentration of donors in and around the Philadelphia area. This is really helpful. You'll see how that precise press release in that precise area brought donors in from there. This is going to be link number 5 in your notes. Here's the key point. What makes a press release a success can often come from an unlikely place. Often just one media outlet picking up your story will create a positive return on investment. So it's interesting to track precise location of the airing of the story and then the immediate response in that specific region. There's more, and this is where we begin to compare the short and the long-term advantages of PR versus pay-per-click. When we looked at the PR results for both our own company, MarketingExperiments.com, and our nonprofit partner, i58projects.com, we took a moment to compare the short-term ROI with the money we had spent on pay-per-click advertising. Here are the figures, comparing the historical pay-per-click cost with our press release campaign. Now, Brian is putting a new chart into your notes. Going to want to refresh your notes again, and let's look at cost. The marketing experiments cost at 42 cents per click in the pay-per-click engine, on average, that's pay-per-click average, and the press release cost was only 33 cents per click. The I-58 project's average cost was 32 cents per click, but with press releases, it was only 14 cents per click. Now, obviously the key point is this, the press release campaign created directly traceable traffic that was less expensive than the historical average pay-per-click traffic. And it's most important to keep in mind, and I think that my writing team needs to emphasize this, that this differential, which by the way, speaking to my writing team, I'd like to see this in ratios, percentages, not just numbers. But The key here is not just the historical average, but the fact that beyond this, we are still seeing results from those press releases. A, they're still posted on sites. They're still on places all over the Internet driving traffic. B, We can't begin to trace the people who heard about the story, directly typed in a link, and all the other ways that people get to us from this work. This is just comparing what we can precisely trace. And it's remarkable to see that even in the short term, the cost per visit through PR was significantly lower than through our pay-per-click campaigns. These PR numbers include only the direct measurable traffic. And that chart takes into consideration only the one we just looked at, only the optimized pay-per-click campaigns for both sites. We're very careful about optimizing, and those are averages. But when you look at certain keywords related to the targeted subject matter of the press releases, it becomes even clearer. For that, please, Brian is dropping yet a further chart into your notes. But this chart is really quite fascinating, and it really bears looking at. So refresh your page, look again, and let's compare our costs. Our average cost per click for each of the ones that we compare, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 9, those releases, are remarkable. Start at the bottom. Press release 9. Average cost per click for us using the press releases, and I'm not sure they're clear that was the press releases in this table, let's make that clear, was only 8 cents a click. But if we were to try to buy it in Google, it would have cost us $1 a click. The term click fraud, which drew lots of traffic in press release 6, only cost us 36 cents a click or 36 cents a visit. But if we were to try and buy the same position in Google, it would have cost $8.46. And you can see the rest of these. When you get very targeted, the press releases were able to track traffic at a much lower CPC, or cost per click, than the relevant targeted keywords in Google. Mind you, there's some footnotes to that that we'll talk about in the press release that are just research notes that are critical and more or less caveats to that we want to keep in mind. But still, let's move on. This would be enough. I mean, this would be enough to get my attention if I was the director of marketing for a major organization, but I want to point out something that could easily be missed. And that is that while we were monitoring the results of the press releases in terms of driving traffic, we were also monitoring the increase in backlinks to our site. Now, as you well know, the more backlinks you have to your site, the more traffic you'll have in the future for two reasons. Number one, people go to another site, see a link to your site, and they come in and visit. But number two, greater number of relevant backlinks you have, the higher your rankings in some of the most important search engines like Google. That's a generalization, but you understand the point. So we tested that also, and what we discovered was quite fascinating. So there is another chart, press release link generation. Brian, I'd like you to drop into their notes right now. Look at the new links associated with each press release for the MEC site alone. Notice how the number of incoming links rises proportionately with the press releases, from 2,500 all the way up to 12,500 incoming links to the MEC site. What does this chart mean? What do you need to understand? What's the key point? Over a six-month period, our press release campaign created a five-fold income, and I'd say helped to create. I won't say it attributed only, but helped to create a five-fold increase in the number of incoming links to our site. So even if cost per click were even, that is to say, even if Google cost you the same amount as a press release, vice versa, in terms of per click, you still have the added and distinct advantage of generating more incoming links to your site through a press release strategy. Now, there are some points to take into consideration. First of all, while a PR burst and longer-term campaigns can drive significant traffic to certain pages on your site with a very good ROI, pay-per-click still has its place. I don't think Google and Overture are going to listen to this web conference and become frightened, and I don't think we're going to see their stock take a dive, because pay-per-click still has significant advantages. But, for instance, pay-per-click can be used for very precise targets, delivering keyword searches to very specific landing pages. On the other hand, you can do that with a press release depending on the URL that you promote. However, the superior short-term ROI on press releases is just the beginning of the story. In addition to delivering thousands of new visitors at a very low cost per visit, PR will result in hundreds or even thousands of new links to your site, or it can. Pay-per-click will likely not. And PR will result in follow-up articles and interviews, and pay-per-click will likely not. And PR will result in invitations to speak and write, and pay-per-click will likely not. In fact, a link from a PR place has far more credibility and influence, I think, over the consumer than someone's targeted ad in a pay-per-click engine. And number four, PR can build your brand quickly and extensively through exposure on network TV or in national publications. Of course, pay-per-click will not. See what PR does for you, and this is very critical. PR increases influence. Influence is a commodity. It is possible with smart strategy to monetize influence. And when I'm advising publishers, both large and small, I often tell them, as they're trying to calculate the ROI on their latest subscription offering, that they need to be predisposed. That is, they need to be prejudiced towards the offering which gives them the greatest possible influence. Influence can be measured in one of two ways. It can be measured in terms of the number of people, or it can be measured in terms of the power of those people, buying power. An example would be, which would you rather have, influence over 10,000 well-heeled electronics customers or significant influence over Bill Gates and Warren Buffett? And if they were the only two on your special list, I guarantee you, you would eventually, you know, the influence over those two men would have significant dividends for you in the future. So then this influence piece, and I want to emphasize this again because it connects so closely to PR. In a world where you value propositions are fuzzy, many of you who are on the line have service companies, and it's very difficult to distinguish yourself. You win the game by increasing your influence, not your cash reserves. Influence can be translated into favorable advantages. And so you want to think of that, and you want to think of that when the way you craft your PR strategy, and the same thing in your pricing strategy. I know that in a recent analysis, I looked at two ways to price a subscription offering. The same offering was priced at $34.95 a month and at $1,200 a month. And I saw how to ROI it at the $1,200 a month price point. It was worth $1,200 a month. Clearly, you'd have less customers. And I pointed out that we would also have less customer service issues, which makes the $1,200 price point far more effective. And about the time I had everyone convinced to go for the $1,200 a month option, I advocated the $34.95 option. The reason being, I felt the collective weight of influence at $34.95 would be much greater than for the relatively few customer base they would have at the $1,200 price point in their particular situation. So, moving on, this is kind of what we have discovered. And it leads us to a critical question, and that is, okay, so press releases might be something that I should consider, but how do I do it right? How do I maximize the opportunity? And in the time that we have left, I'd like to drill down here in just a moment and talk specifically about some of the things we've learned about how to do this properly. But I'm going to open for a few moments. I'm going to open for questions. Please be brave and start with your questions, but also take notes. I'll try to take a few questions, and then, you know, if I can't get to your question, you can email me, and we'll see if we can help you that way. And also, if we're going to open for questions a little bit later in this call as well. So there may be that opportunity. If we have time, we'll open for questions later. But for now, let me just take it off lecture mode, Brian, if you would. And if you've got questions about what we've said so far, about the data, or just anything connected to this topic, please feel free to ask.
Sure. And I would just offer one thing before I take us out of lecture mode. If we are overwhelmed by room noise and you think it might be you in a noisy room, I do ask that you hit star six just to kind of help keep that under control.
Yeah, if you've got that star six on your phone, will mute your individual line. All right, someone with a question.
Okay,
I have a question.
Okay. I'll take, tell me your name and then your question.
My name is Bob. My question is,
Bob,
on PR9, it shows you it went to 3,000 editors. Is that a typo or is that correct? Because all the others say 300 or 200.
I think that's a typo. Would someone on my team respond?
Actually, it's correct.
Go ahead.
Rachel,
is that Rachel?
Over-Politis.
All right, we're going to let Rachel speak now. Go ahead, Rachel.
What we did is the reason that the original press releases only went out to about 200 editors is because it was specific toward marketing experiments, which is based in Florida. And so we wanted it to be more specific. For I-58, the target was let everybody know what's going on with Hurricane Katrina and that they have an ability to donate housing or things like that. And so we actually sent it to radio stations, TV stations, newspapers and things across the entire country rather than just
yeah.
in a specific region.
But it does say Florida, 3,000 editors.
Well, the actual release was sent out over Business Wire to Florida, but then we specifically emailed that release out to an additional 3,000 editors.
Okay, because that,
so
that one has the majority
of
share of direct
Florida?
Traffic response of 2,200 compared
yeah.
to just a couple
yeah.
of hundred for all the others.
And that's
a
good
direct
point.
Correlation
that's a good
to the
question.
Number of editors
and,
receiving?
Let's footnote that or make that clear in the chart also.
Try to read back that in a minute.
All right. Rachel, did you finish your comment?
The question's answered, yes.
Okay. And we've got an echo from your end, I think, Rachel. I don't know if it's you or not, but try star six and see if the echo stops. And it might be that you have more than one staff member in the same room, but you can check and see.
It could also be someone on speakerphone, so if you're listening on speakerphone, you may also want to mute.
Yes.
I'm not good. On speaker.
All right, now, we answered a question from Bob, and there were several other people. Someone said, go ahead and let's take another question, someone with a name and a question.
This is Ed.
Okay, Ed.
Question is, where would you find the list of these newspapers, radio, and television stations so that you can send your...
Okay. I'm going to try to answer, Ed, and I'm going to also allow... Rachel works directly with the PR group we've been testing, and it's... I haven't said their name only because I didn't want to pronounce it incorrectly, but Rachel, feel free to tell us that when you're next on the line here, and also, as I said earlier, it's on our website when you go to the media kit under About Us. But let me suggest this... For the most part, there's things you can do on the free wire, but a lot of this boils down to working with a PR firm that has
relationships.
And credibility in the industry. For that, having said that, Rachel or David or anyone on your end that would like to comment on that, please feel free.
Do you guys know if David's on the line?
We do not know. If that's you, Rachel, go ahead and answer.
There's still the echo. I tried to get it off, but it's not.
Okay. All right, well, then we'll continue. And but the short answer here is that we've discovered that that beware of just doing the free thing on the Internet that anybody can do. That typically doesn't get a lot of attention. It's almost like spam if it's not handled properly. And working with a good PR firm is really quite cost-effective. And we recommend that you do that if you get serious about this. Certainly it costs a lot less than an SEO specialist, a lot less than, you know, what you may typically pay a pay-per-click firm. So it's not a bad consideration. Does that answer your question, Ed?
I was hoping that maybe there was some specific media or some list companies that you could get subscriptions and that way you could control the distribution of your...
Okay. I'll do this, Ed. Email us that question. Email us here at our staff, and we'll try to answer you personally. We'll make sure we thoroughly understand your question, and we'll give you back something in writing so that you don't get lost here and not get a good answer. Okay? All right.
This is a question. My name is Ed as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Ed.
My question is, in the pay-per-click, we're talking about impressions. When you also sent out the press release, you've got interviews.
interviews.
What was the relationship on conversions that the press release actually, what did it convert to? And the same with the pay-per-click. Because the conversion, the ROI, is really the determining factor of
Absolutely.
The success of the campaign.
In our case, it converted in two ways. It added dramatically to our list of subscribers. And on the I-58 side, within 2 days, we had secured 1,500 beds for Katrina victims. And so for us, those were the two really key metrics, and it converted very well. And you would think it would, because these are people who are coming informed. They've read something about you and what you're doing, and they've been interested on it, and they've taken the trouble to click through. Whereas in Google, I've got 35 characters to attract them per line in a short ad. Here, they're hearing something, and most importantly, they're hearing it from a third party, so it has additional credibility.
Yeah, the credibility factor, I think, is really significant.
Oh, it is. It is. And I'll tell you something else. When you're done with the pay-per-click campaign, all you have is a bill. But when you're done with a PR campaign, you've got all these stories that you can take from other websites and link to and point to on your site, or you can take your press releases and build a file of these on your site, and they add a lot of...
Good strategy.
Yeah, it's a good strategy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm going to take...
Gary,
I know there's a lot of people with questions, so let me say this. I'm going to take another question. And then when I'm done, we're going to let you email us your questions so we don't lose you, and we're going to have one more session here at the end. But when we get your emails, we'll do our very best to try and help you if we run out of time to take your personal questions. So right now, let's take one more. Someone, go ahead.
Jerry, I have a question about the costs.
Go ahead, Jerry. Yes.
The cost numbers that are here, are they comprehensive in terms of including the cost of writing the initial press release draft, distributing it, the agency fees, any wire fees, faxing fees, things of that nature? They seem quite simply very reasonable.
Yeah, well, what they don't include, and I, again, if David's on, he might be able to help with this. I mentioned that because David and Rachel work together in their group, and Rachel's having some telephone issues. The point that you need to, and by the way, Jalali, you're welcome to jump in from my staff, any of my staff members that want to help with this. I know you were closely involved. These costs include the wire fees and so on, that the paid wire fees that we had to pay. They don't include the cost associated with the writing of the press release, but we also didn't factor them in with the cost associated with writing or managing the pay-per-click campaign. And we know that those can be limited. I mean, you know, as far as say I can spend $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 a month on pay per click, not including the fees, just on a smart testing campaign, or $2,000 or $1,000 or $1,500. And with a press release, you know, you can write it internally or you can hire an external firm. So the variables are too floating to compare. But the bottom line is, a commensurate investment on both is reasonable. And I might also add, for those of you that are wondering, well, what's a good PR firm going to cost me? I mean, I think that you can probably spend anywhere between $1,500 a month and many thousands, depending on how many press releases and what your strategy is, with a decent firm. But most of us are not going to be priced out of the market by the cost of a good PR firm. And with real specifics, you know, we can. You're welcome to talk to the PR firm that we're working with, and they're again, I have no commercial for them, and but they're on our website, and you can see who they are. So did that answer your question, Jerry?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, now I'm going to move to these 11 steps because they're important, and I'm running out of time, and we're going to move through them. And again, if we can get through them in time, we'll take some more questions in the end, and feel free to email us. We really want to help you. All right, so here we go. Number one, when you write a press release, do not write it for the distribution service or to please internal stakeholders, people within your own company. Write it for the publication you are hoping will publish your story. Target your press release for the top 3 to 5 media outlets that you hope to have an interview in. Keep a picture of them in your mind, and the editors and those journalists, and write it for them. And then, of course, it still will be effective for the other groups. But I think the more focused you are, the better. As always, specificity converts. That's our number one rule in conversion around here, and it even applies when you're trying to convert editors. Number two, whenever possible, be specific, local, and personal. Our test demonstrated clearly that stories about a particular person, a particular place, or a specific event will almost always perform better than a general announcement. Everyone is looking for a story, and stories are about people in particular places or situations. Number three, think in terms of long-term ROI. If your press release attracts thousands of new visitors to your site, make efforts to collect as many of their email addresses as possible. Most visitors will come to your site once and never again. So as with all your promotional efforts, when someone visits for the first time as a result of a press release, offer an incentive for them to give you at least the minimum of contact information. Boy, this is important. Don't pay twice to get the same traffic back to your site. You need three ways in your site to capture the email address of someone that visits. I'm talking permission-based email capture. One of the most effective things that you can do, and Nick, you're on the line, you're welcome to jump in on this, is to provide a download of information that's useful and as an incentive, as an extra incentive, as a bonus, or as something free to help people that are coming to your site. When you do that, you capture far more email addresses. And with this in mind, continuity of purpose and content between the press release and the landing page will improve the number of signups. Now, this is important. Beware of interrupts, psychological interrupts. When I click on a headline or a link in a press release, there's an expectation in the back of my mind. Make sure that the page I see next is commensurate with that expectation. Don't interrupt me. Don't jolt me too much. It's best to use a headline on that page that's connected to a key term in the press release. It's good to customize a landing page to use in your press release. For more information about capturing email addresses, you can look at our other reports and email capture tested and email capture pop-ups tested. Those are numbers. What numbers are those, Brian?
Those are numbers six and seven.
Six and seven in your notes. You can go to those reports and studies. Nick,
it's Nick here.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you get continuity from the press release through to the landing page, and if you can provide some kind of free download, a white paper, a report, a guide, something to encourage people to give you their email address, if you can make that white paper or guide or report, again, relevant to that very first story they read in the press, then, you know, it makes for a very powerful connection. And the credibility from the press release is continued right through to their request for the white paper or report. And you should achieve a very good conversion that way.
Yes. Nick is, most of you know, he's a senior analyst on our staff, and you've known him probably from his books and things. But Nick's been very effective with this. And we're getting ready to do it with the journal itself. We're in the midst of complete... major change. We've outgrown our own website, and we need to make it easier for you to navigate and provide these types of things, and Nick's working on that with us right now. So it's very good advice. And Nick, feel free to jump in on any of this. And also, Jalali Hartman, who's on our staff, is online, and Jalali was the one that coordinated the press work from our end. So, Jalali, is there anything you need to add to what I've said thus far that might be critical to say now?
I think the only thing I was trying to jump in earlier is the gentleman that asked about the list of where to get the list of editors. And there's two ways that you can do that. One is you can actually go out and find it yourself. And in fact, we do two things here. One is we have just a short list of people that we know are publishers and editors in our space, particularly for the marketing experiment side. And also, really, the easiest way to do that is to work with a PR firm who would have a database and could segment that database out by, who works the news desk at each publication, that kind of thing. So that might answer the question there.
Yes, and as the years pass, you'll build relationships, and you need to be quick to respond and quick to help those reporters, even when they're asking for something that doesn't directly benefit you. As time passes, it's like everything else in life. It's about the relationship. But good advice. All right, so I'm going to move to number four, and that is compile an email. By the way, if you're frantically taking notes and I'm confusing you or moving too fast, bear in mind in a week or so you'll get all this in the mail word for word laid out for you. we do this live briefing with you so we can get your questions, and actually it improves this issue before we release it. We want to hear your questions, what we might not be clear on, other ideas that you give us, and we do another rewrite of the issue before we release it after this. So we'll do the final rewrite, and then we'll get it to you. Make sure you're on our list. Make sure you're a subscriber so you get it. All right, number five, be prompt when returning calls, or number four, I'm sorry, compile an email list of editors who cover your industry. There you go, Jalali. Most PR firms have a database of editors and will create a list to send your release to. Number five, be prompt when returning calls and emails from editors. Typically, editors and reporters are working on a deadline and usually have only a few hours to get the details on your story. I've learned that, and it's very true. You've got to have somebody in your staff who can respond quickly. Number six, if you are writing the press release yourself, keep in mind that a press release has a specific format, and it is not meant to be an article itself. It is meant to quickly educate the editor on the story and your business. There are a number of press release templates listed in the literature review at the end of our report. We'll be sending you a literature review along with this report. We, of course, as part of our academic exercise here, look at every other thing written on the internet that might be useful, and we rate it and provide you a review. I think that section is often missed, and it's one of the richest parts of the briefings that we send out. It's the other literature that you can study if you get very serious. And there's templates in there, and they'll help you. Number seven, use press to gain additional press. If you get picked up by one producer or editor, consider contacting competing news organizations with your story. I've done that for 15 years effectively. It works very, very well. Have a good press section on your website, including contacts, company background, latest press releases, and excerpts from third-party news sources. Number nine, classify your news into A, B, and C rankings. C news would be a product release or a new management hire. An A news release would be a human interest story highlighted, a business owner who's using your product or service successfully. But don't expect A results from C releases. You know, a hot A topic is when you have a personal story that connects with a topic that's already on the mind of consumers and often being talked about in the media. When those things converge, you have a strong story and you need to recognize it. Number 10, develop a consistent message for all communications with reporters and editors. This makes you think about your brand, about how you define who you are. It's very critical that you're consistent here. Number 11, be consistent in your PR efforts. We've noticed a building effect over time. Editors seem more likely to respond to your releases after they've consistently received them for a while. So an ongoing press release effort can create a direct influx of traffic, favorable publicity through interviews and other news coverage, and a boost in incoming links, which in turn contributes to greater link popularity and higher natural search results. By focusing on the most relevant, personal, and timely stories about your company, you'll achieve the greatest possible return on your PR investment. All right, then. Nick, Jalali, before I open for questions, one last time, is there anyone else with do you guys have anything else you want to comment on that, or anyone else from my staff?
I just have one comment, and it's just a general comment on PR, and what I've learned working on this last 6 months or so is that it's important to always keep in mind that these journalists and editors, they need stories. Typically, they're under constant deadlines to come up with interesting things to either put out through their publications, and if you keep that in mind as you go through the different press releases and the different news that you're putting out there, that will help. And also the timeliness, there was a number of I'm counting three or four interviews that we probably missed because we weren't able to actually get on the phone, right then and help them meet their deadline. So that would be sort of an additional.
Excellent point. And Jolly makes a point that I'd like to underscore in all of this, and that is most of us, because of human nature, approach something like this questioning how we can use the media to accomplish our objectives. That's the wrong attitude. Ask yourself how you can serve the media and it changes everything. The reporter out there doesn't want to be used. He wants to be helped. And if you get real helpful, both in how you conceive of your release, how you respond to him, how you try to help him when it doesn't look like there's anything for you in it, you know, it just works. There's something about reaping and sowing that's fundamental to all of this, and it applies in every aspect of what you're doing with your own company. And I just suggest that because of all the negative attention about the media in general, not necessarily the trades, but, you know, the big media companies, many of us are, you know, thinking about them as a means to an end, and, they're kind of the gatekeeper to a pot of gold. But I suggest that if you find out who these people are and you work hard to help them, you'll get a greater return. And so with that in mind, I'm going to take it off lecture mode. I'm running out of time, but we're going to take a few questions here before we close. So, Brian, pull us off, if you would.
This is
okay,
Frank.
Somebody, your name and your question. I'll call your name, and that's
Frank.
How we'll do it. Go ahead.
Yes, Frank, when you were planning your press release campaign over a six-month period of time, how far in advance are you planning your press releases?
That's a good question. Jalali, I'll let you answer that.
We probably honestly could have done a better job of planning them ahead of time. They tend to coincide with what we're researching at the time, or, you know, in a couple of cases, new hire, that kind of thing. The six-month campaign that we're just finishing up, honestly, was, you know, we anticipated a sort of a building effect, and we're starting to see that now. So the first few, you know, the editors really don't even pay attention to, and you need to work with them a little bit and get some good news to them, and then, you know, come out with additional things. What we started to do and what we're planning to do is, A, time press around releases that or briefs that we're getting ready to put out, and also pay attention to what is in the news already. So that's sort of two approaches to planning.
And I would add to that you can plan in advance and should, but you need to be responsive because opportunities arise suddenly.
Right.
And when you recognize them, you can take advantage sometimes of significant timing that will really make a difference in how the release is received. And, I mean, we have at any number of times a lot of things we could take out, but we're paying attention to what's happening in the media. We timed our issue on click fraud to come out because there was a lot of attention right then related to that. Does that answer your question, Frank?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Someone else, tell me your name, and then I'll, because many of us are speaking at one time. Let me call your name, and then we'll get your question.
My name is Jeb.
All right, go ahead, Jeb.
Any clues on how Google and other search engines rank releases when multiple publications all run out the same information?
Interesting. Before I answer, is there anyone on my staff? I don't know if Jeremy, who's our search engine expert, is on this call or not. If you are, Jeremy, feel free to jump in on this. And also Dave or Jalali, I'll tell you some things from that's more anecdotal than research. But anyone want to weigh in on that question?
Yes, Flint, this is Dave Politis.
Yes, Dave, go ahead.
Hi. Actually,
Dave is the head of the search. Let me just introduce you, Dave. Dave is the head of the PR firm that we conducted this research with. And he did a fine job. He's actually independently worth so many hundreds of millions of dollars that he does this just for a hobby. So you don't really need to give him any more business. But all teasing aside, he's a pro, and he could probably answer some of these questions for us very well. So go ahead, Dave.
Thank you very much, Flint. The question about ranking on search engines such as a Google or a Yahoo or the like really ties back to a number of different factors. And, of course, the algorithm gurus inside of these search engine companies are always tweaking how they rank. And so the model changes. But what we are seeing is that one of the things that has a lot to do with ranking based upon your search terms, of course, on an organic standpoint, which is really what we're talking about with regards to PR, deals with the links from a basic news release to the media. So, for example, if you put out a news release on a business wire, what you'll find is that release will get picked up automatically by many different media outlets, and they will link back to your homepage or to your landing page.
And so the amount of links that occur off of a press release benefits you, as well as the strength of the site that is linking to your page or linking to your press release. There's a couple
Jeb,
different things that
did that answer your question? Did he answer
no.
a different question, or did he answer the one you're asking?
The answer the one you're asking.
No, he didn't answer it. I'm wondering
why don't you email us, Jeb? Let me have you email us, and let's give you a good answer. I'll get you right in touch with them, or we'll answer ourselves.
Okay.
Because I think it's a good question, but it's an important one that I don't want to treat in a few minutes here improperly. So if you'll send it to me, we'll get you an accurate answer here. And Dave, what you had to say was very good, but I just want to make sure I cover get Jeb taken care of.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we can take another question. Somebody give me your name.
Yes,
my name is Fernando.
My name is
Fernando.
Look, there's a lady. I heard her. Say your name again.
My name's Elaine.
Elaine. Go ahead, Elaine. And Fernando, we'll try to get to yours after Elaine. So go ahead, Elaine.
You mentioned press PR companies. What if we're just doing this on our own? Would you have any suggestions of where we could put our PR release, our press releases?
Dave, I'm going to let you answer that.
Can I try and answer it?
Is that Rachel?
Yes, it is. Do I still have an echo?
We got Dave on. Did you, Rachel?
Yeah.
So either you or Dave, whoever you want there.
Rachel, go ahead.
Okay. There are a variety of free press release sites that you can go to, such as PR Web or PR Leap, or if you just do a search for free press release distribution sites. And sometimes they, offer you to pay a certain amount of fee for different kinds of services, but they do offer free press releases. And if you are able to do that as well as send it out to editors and lists that you've combined, if you don't want to hire an agency, you can go to the various sites. Pretty much all organizations have a new site, and you can find contacts like the specific editor that you want to use. And if you contact them and email them as well as send it out on various free press release sites, that's probably the best way to go about doing it.
Excellent.
You can
Excellent.
Also sign up with one of the major distribution, like PR Newswire or Business Wire, on your own. But if you're looking to minimize cost, if you notice two of the releases mentioned in that brief, we just sent out over the free wires. We actually didn't send them out on a Business Wire or a PR Newswire.
Excellent answer. Fernando, you had a question. Let me let you ask that question. That may have to be our last question that we can answer live. But go ahead, Fernando.
Okay, I want to ask if after the peer release, do you personally contact by phone or any other way with these editors or journalists?
Yeah, that's a good
yes.
question. Fernando's asking if we contact the journalists personally. After we've contacted them via email or with a release, and I'll go ahead and let Rachel or Dave answer that. Go ahead.
It kind of depends on the news that you're actually putting out. If it's general news, in a lot of cases, for the ones that we did for NBC, most of the time we contacted them individually via email. But then, in addition, depending on what it was, there is the follow-up way of calling them and getting a hold of them and mentioning, hey, have you happened to see the press release that I sent you this morning? If you're going to contact an editor or reporter directly, you always want to make sure that they aren't on deadline first, because if they are, then they're not going to want to pay attention to anything that you're saying because they're busy.
Yes. All right. It's a good answer. Fernando, did she answer your question?
Question?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Let me suggest this. Number one, this whole conference has been recorded, and we'll be releasing it. It'll be on our website within a day or two, and you'll be able to go back and listen or send a friend to it if you feel like it would benefit them and they want to listen. They'll be able to go and do so. And then, of course, in about a week, we'll release the report. In the meantime, I would have a request for you. I have two requests for you. Request number one is, if this has been good or bad in either event, could you send feedback to us? You can email editor@marketingexperiments.com. Is that correct, Brian?
That's it, yep.
If you'll email the editor@marketingexperiments.com or even, hit the reply to some of the email that were sent to you about the conference, what we want to do is hear, is this helping you? Is this information that's useful for you? And then, you know, or how we can help you more so that we can continue to try and improve. And then secondly, and this is critical also, as you know, we don't charge for any of this, but if there's anything that you can do that would, if this is helpful in any way, one thing that we would kindly ask you to consider is think about what's happening at i58projects.com and what we're trying to do with the victims at Hurricane Katrina. There's an ability there to let us know if you can help with houses or jobs or if you can help with donations. And we would be just very grateful for anything you can do that will enable us to help more of these people. So with that in mind, I'm going to bring this conference to a close, and I just want to thank all of you for your trust. And we'll keep working, and we'll be in touch again with more information as we get on. Thank you all, and thank you so much. Bye.